Hey, it's the Rye Man back with another Broncos Country Blitz, and I'm here with Adam of Crimewell Sports. Say hi, Adam.
Hey, everybody.
And as promised, we are here for our 2023-24 Denver Broncos season wrap-up. Obviously, we're approaching the new year of the league. Obviously, the Super Bowl's over, not who we wanted to see win the Super Bowl. And obviously, a lot of talk about Russell Wilson, what the Broncos' future looks like, and we'll kind of get into all of that. But we'll kind of go through it. Offense, defense, special teams, kind of talk about the quarterback situation. How the hell are we going to get out of this without talking about that? And there's clearly a few other things that we're not going to get through this without talking about other than the quarterback situation as well. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Quarterback situation is probably the biggest thing on all of the Broncos country's mind right now.
This is true. Now, let's start with the offense. Not probably what we want to see out of a Sean Payton offense in the 23-24 season. I'm trying to keep in mind, it's Sean Payton's first year in Denver. Obviously, new system, new scheme for these players. Some of these players have been through a ton of different schemes over the years with the turnover in coaches and personnel. But at the end of the season, bottom half of the league in offense, and that's not what you expect from a Sean Payton offense.
I agree with that, and it's not what we expected to see for quarterback play and also the receiver core, which is the highest paid in the NFL.
Yes. Once again, we got through the season without a 1,000-yard wide receiver, and we have a little bit of a streak going on with that. That's a big concern, especially in a Sean Payton-type offense where you should have 1,000-yard receiver, possibly another one trending towards 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I think the receivers really missed the mark this year, but is that because they're not very good players, or do you think that's because of the quarterback play?
Well, I don't know about you, Adam, but I think Jerry Jeudy's gone at some point. I don't know whether it's the draft, before the draft. Jerry Jeudy, I think after this season, is gone. I think we've had too many years now of, well, he can be a legit number one receiver. He just needs a different quarterback. Well, now he can be a legit number one receiver because he didn't mesh with that quarterback. Well, now, you know, there's excuse after excuse after excuse. He can be explosive every once in a while, but I got to think he's gone after this year.
It's a very good possibility that you're right about that. He just has consistently shown that he's not showing up to play. Although, upon review of a lot of those games, he's been open. He's just been missed by the quarterback.
This is true, and we'll get into the quarterback situation a little more. We should probably talk about it while we're talking about the offense, but obviously it's probably the biggest thing to talk about. So, you know, we have to keep you guys hooked and talk about that towards the end as well. Now, the other thing that I want to mention is that Courtland Sutton, after the season, made a lot of social media posts that alluded to the fact that he knew he was going to be gone from the Broncos. There have been reports over the last week he will be back. Not by just certain individuals or people that maybe have a hearsay, but people that were originally speculating Sutton was gone have confirmation from within the organization that Courtland Sutton's here to stay. I like that from the standpoint. Longstanding Bronco. The other reason is he's a bigger receiver, can make tough catches, and that's kind of what Sean Payton wants in his offense. So I was a little surprised to hear there was a chance he was leaving. I'm glad to hear that he's probably coming back.
When the Broncos hit their win streak, he was one of the only bright spots on the entire offense, making some pretty spectacular catches that I remember. I think he's one of those people. We could keep him around, and I'm not going to be upset by that. Pair him with somebody who can get him the ball on time in their delivery. Good to go. And again, sounds like I'm bagging on old Russell Wilson here. I'm not. He had good, solid play according to the numbers. They just couldn't quite get over the hump and get it done when it was necessary.
Let's talk a little bit about Russ. We were going to talk about him towards the end too, but let's talk a little bit about it now since he keeps coming up. Now, Russ had good numbers. Great touchdown to interception ratio for him on the season. I think it was 26 touchdowns to 8 picks. And was considered rating-wise and in certain points during the season playing at a high level. I think the problem was, like you said, Adam, is he couldn't hit wide-open receivers over the middle. He couldn't play within the offense, within the rhythm it's designed. There was still a lot of delay getting plays in and getting the plays snapped at the line of scrimmage and getting the proper adjustments made. And I really think that was kind of the demise of the relationship between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Is while Wilson did some things okay during the season, and obviously he had some bright spots. There are some bright spots that we will remember as Broncos fans for years to come. But overall, He just didn't mesh in Sean Payton's offense. And I think that's what it really goes back to, is he did some great things this year, but you have to be a quick decision maker in the NFL, and you have to be able to hit those wide open receivers over the middle. And we just didn't see enough of that.
Yeah. In my reflection upon the season, he had great numbers, but the numbers are not telling the full story.
No.
I believe that he was, again, the numbers looked good on paper, but for the rest of the Broncos and Broncos country that were struggling through those games, some of them were pretty tough to watch. And numbers be darned, the performance on the field didn't look solid enough for me to think that he should stick around.
Yeah. Now, some things to mention. We had a ton of three and outs this year. A ton of drives that maybe weren't three and outs but stalled way too quickly. Russ fumbled the ball quite a bit. And we already talked about the slow decision-making and not being able to see the guys across the middle. And really, when you look at all that and the Broncos offense being still in the lower half of the NFL, for the contract Russ got from the Broncos, he has not lived up to it. Okay, Nathaniel Hackett, that was a disaster all around. But even this season, now people say Russ had a better season, had a much better campaign, but I don't think he still played to the level of his contract that was signed.
Yeah, definitely not worth that money that he was given. And a restructure, great, if it happens, which we'll probably get into a little bit later on.
Uh-huh.
If the restructure happens, maybe it's helpful. However, I'm still not sure he stays in Denver, especially with the house going on the market.
Yeah. Russ came out and made some comments recently that he wants to stay in Denver, win two more Super Bowls. That irritated some people right there. Like, hey, get your game honed in a little more before you say you're going to win two more Super Bowls. But, yeah, he sent mixed messages this offseason. Listing his house, but yet saying he still wants to be here. Going on the Brandon Marshall podcast, basically alluding the Broncos did certain things that in terms of talking about his injury clause. But at the same time, in my opinion, not being flexible on that at all. They were just asking him to move it, not get rid of it, and not being able to renegotiate any of his contract into a signing bonus. The actions that he's made, other than his comments, show that he's not really flexible in terms of wanting to do things that are team-friendly and doing things that are best for the team or to restructure his contract in a way that the team can also benefit and bring in additional pieces that we need to. So that was a problem with Russ in Seattle. A lot of people said, wasn't really the team guy that he came off presented. And we've kind of seen that now in Denver. There are things, if you pay close enough attention, that, well, he's saying this, but he's also done enough things on the other side to go, okay, well, he's still not this ultimate team quarterback that I think the Broncos are looking for.
Yep, and Sean Payton called it when he said, we don't need a quarterback who's out here kissing babies and being a politician.
Yes, exactly. Now, we'll get into probably the quarterback situation here a little later. Let's flip over to the defense. Defense played great at times. I think they got gassed in certain games. I think there's certain games that I don't want to say that the effort wasn't there. I don't want to say that, but I think there were certain games that they got frustrated with the offense and possibly weren't as focused in as maybe they were in other games. And really, I mean, great bright spots. Alex Singleton, linebacker. We know about PS2, obviously. There were some great bright spots on the defensive side of the ball, but it just seems like the defense itself wasn't as solid at certain times you expected it to be, and maybe was a little more solid at times that really maybe didn't matter as much. Now, maybe that's just the flow of the National Football League, but I hope the Broncos going into this offseason keep PS2 around. There's talk about him being traded so we can move up and get a quarterback in the draft. I want to see PS2 stick around. I think the Broncos proved it years ago with the Champ Bailey situation. They got rid of Clinton Portis and brought in Champ Bailey, and they got significantly better from that move. So I don't think from the Broncos' own history and historically in general, you move on from a guy like PS2 at the cornerback position.
I would not get rid of a solid player who is predictable and we know what kind of output he's going to give for the draft that is a total crapshoot.
Exactly.
Not going to risk one of my best players for somebody who has the potential or could be a good quarterback in the NFL. I would much rather go with tried and true and a proven vet like PS2 is becoming.
Exactly. And Justin Simmons, I hope we keep him as well. There's talk about a lot of players possibly being moved, and I think that's just realistic when you're 8-9, and the division's not going to get any easier. Jim Harbaugh's come in to the Chargers. Obviously, you expect the Los Angeles Chargers to improve. Unfortunately, Kansas City won the Super Bowl again. I'm always not going to really like that, being able to say that or having to say that. The Raiders, it's going to be interesting with Antonio Pierce. It's really, I think, a crapshoot there. There are people that think it's going to work out great, and then there are other people that think it's going to fizz out through the next half of this upcoming season. But the AFC West isn't getting any easier. So really, I think this offseason, more than any, is going to be very important on both sides of the ball, but especially defensively trying to hold that unit together.
Yeah, I had a tough time seeing that we lost twice to the Raiders.
Yeah,
that was a hard pill to swallow. We came out great with Kansas City in both games, actually. The first game when we still managed to lose, which was expected at that point. And then, of course, the second game against Kansas City was pretty awesome and one of the high points for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But losing to the Raiders, who were a very mediocre team, was a tough pill to swallow.
Very tough.
And, of course, yes, they are going to get better throughout that whole division and the whole conference and all of that stuff. So the Broncos do not have an easy road ahead of them over the next few years, with the Chargers and the Raiders just continuing to build on something that actually isn't too bad.
Yeah.
Raiders-wise, it wasn't too bad. The Chargers were struggling a little bit this year, but the Raiders looked okay in certain spots. They were kind of very comparable to the Broncos, and it doesn't get any easier for the Broncos from here on out.
No, definitely not. Now, the one thing on the defensive side of the ball, I think there are going to be some moves done. I don't think it's going to be Alex Singleton. I think Josie Jewell might be gone. The only reason I say that, they signed Jonas Griffith to a new deal recently. I would think the only reason you would do that and not wait till later in the year or see how camp plays out or whatever, or risk losing him, is if you possibly aren't going to have Jewell around. I wonder if that's in the cards. But with that being said, I mean, we're talking about the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Really, being 8-9, kind of coming off another losing season, I think if we would have gone 9-8, we'd all be talking differently right now. But I'm okay with everything being on the table. Like, I don't want to see PS2 go anywhere. I don't want to see Sutton go anywhere. But at the same time, if things need to happen and people need to be moved, I'm really okay with it at this point.
Yeah, it seems like a full rebuild could be coming. And at this point, it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. I would hope to keep some of those guys around that we've seen that are fan favorites. Simmons being the great guy that he appears to be and getting all of those awards for his off-the-field behavior. Love to see that in Denver. However, if he's gone, I'm not going to cry. Mm-hmm. And same with the other guys, too. Definitely love PS2. But if we can get some really good draft capital for him or some really proven young players or young players who do have some capability but have already proven that they can play in the NFL, I would much rather take that than trading it all for a draft spot.
Yeah. Now, one thing I want to mention, we didn't talk about the offensive side of the ball, is offensive line. Obviously, there's some improvement that needs to be done there. Some free agents we brought in didn't quite play up to par. Garrett Bowles, while he had a great season, I think there was still some hit and miss moments for him. But the running back, running by committee of Javonte Williams, Perine, and McLaughlin, it worked great at times. There were other times it didn't look so great. And I wonder if they're going to do something to kind of clean up the backfield situation. I don't know if that means they trade one of the guys. They just change the pecking order of who's the leading running back going into 2024. But it was good at times, and other times it seems like we couldn't get production. So same thing, as much as I like all three of those running backs, I'm fine with everything being on the table in terms of any type of change.
Wasn't too impressed with Perine this year.
Yeah?
I didn't think that he was quite what I would have been looking for, but then again, I really don't know. I'm not being paid millions of dollars to make those kinds of decisions. Williams looks okay, a little bit injury prone, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
However, the bright spot I thought was McLaughlin.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed watching him play. It was fun. It was electric. You never really knew what was going to happen at that point. And it just added to that mystery of what's this guy going to do? Is he going to break away and go for 99 yards, or is he going to get stuffed at the line with the other two? I don't feel like we got that. With Perine, I didn't feel like we got anything. Every time that he was handed the ball, it's like, oh, he might go for 5 yards, maybe. He might get stuffed for -2.
Mm-hmm.
And Williams, who has been pretty well when he's healthy, same story. He didn't have that explosiveness, I didn't think, and McLaughlin was the total bright spot in that backfield.
Correct. And I think you kind of touched on it. The one thing that was still missing overall from the Broncos backfield was explosive runs of 20 or more yards. We had some consistent runs, but we didn't have a ton of those. And I don't think at the end of the day our backfield scared anybody, and I think that's where we want to get back to, is where our backfield actually scares enough people to open up the passing game in the offense. So I think that's what we're going to be looking for. The other thing is tight end. We got to get that figured out. Dulcich, I don't know if we just call him a bust at this point. Our tight end position, we had, well, just put it, not enough production from the tight ends. Like, it was pretty ridiculous. We need to find someone in the draft, whether we bring someone in through free agency that just fits Sean Payton's system, but we've got to find something at tight end.
I don't know if you've been watching Club Shay Shay on YouTube.
No, I have not.
Shannon Sharp, he's looking like he could still play. Bring him back.
Ooh, there you go. Let's bring Sharp back. I just want to bring his mouth back, the trash talking. I like that idea. I like that idea. Now, special teams, big upgrade there. I don't really have much to say about special teams just because they played so much better this year. Marvin Mims, great return specialist. I think he'll bloom in terms of the wide receiver production as well next season. But, man, he was a bright spot. Great draft choice by the Broncos. And Will Lutz, they want to bring him back as the Broncos kicker long term. I think he had a pretty darn good season. Really, they let McManus go. I think you can say Will Lutz had the better season last year than McManus. So everything looks good there. Special teams is probably the least concern going into next year out of the three units.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mims was one of the bright spots for the team all year. Good young player. And again, the word electrifying comes back. He was exciting to watch. A little bit scary at times with a few fumbles here and there. Mm-hmm. And they just happened at a pivotal moment, which was not great. But again, I say keep him around and bump up his production a little bit because he was fun to watch and could absolutely be a fan favorite.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. We'll talk more about coaching in this podcast as well. But Sean Payton had an interesting take on the Broncos 8-9 season, how he started terribly, you know, beat the Bears, went on the run, got back within, you know, playoff discussion anyways. And it was interesting what he said. I think it was during Super Bowl week. We used so much energy and so much teamwork in terms of the coaching and the players and the offensive planning, defensive planning, to get back within striking distance of playoff discussion. It just wore the team out towards the end of the season. That's kind of what he said, is basically there was so much put into getting that winning streak going, we just kind of ran out of gas towards the end of the season. So I could see that.
And as a coach, part of his job is to get them to peak at the right time and be at their best for the playoffs and eventually a deep run and hopefully a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can understand that completely. I mean, if you give it all you've got in the middle of the season, you're not going to have anything left in the tank.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the quarterback situation again here in just a minute. But there's a whole talk about Wilson's contract, benching him for a spark. I think if the Broncos beat the Patriots on Christmas Eve, there was none of that would have happened.
Ryan, can we take just a minute real fast?
Sure.
And I need to talk about how pissed off I was that I did not get to see the game on Christmas Eve.
You probably didn't want to see it with the end result. I'm just telling you.
Well, you're right. After paying attention and reading the box scores and all that, you are 100% right. I would have been upset had I been able to watch the game. But NFL, come on. It's Christmas Eve. I didn't have anything else to do other than play Santa Claus and get the milk and the cookies and all that stuff. Put on the game on Christmas Eve on national TV, because some of us are broke from buying all those presents and all the other stuff that come along with Christmas. Give it to me for free. Don't make me pay a subscription.
Exactly. And I'll go along with that, too. I thought the exclusive Peacock game, I thought some of the other stuff they did, was just kind of ridiculous. I still think the Amazon Prime thing is kind of ridiculous. You don't see the game. People that are in the actual city for that team can see the game on a different channel, local channel, but no one else can. I don't like what the NFL is doing. I think eventually, hopefully, they'll come back around and I'll make it to where people can more easily access it. Obviously, it's a dollars game. And we'll see. I mean, right now, I think fans are still buying into it. But, you know, as you said, Adam, that your budget has to go so far and it has to go into certain parts of your daily life. And eventually, if they keep spreading this out and making exclusive games all over the place, people just aren't going to be able to afford all the different services.
Yeah, we have it bad enough that we can't watch the Nuggets and the Avalanche. And I don't know if anybody wants to watch the Rockies, but we can't even catch a game for the Rockies here on national TV in Colorado. Little ridiculous, in my opinion.
Pretty ridiculous. Pretty ridiculous, yes. But back to the Christmas Eve game, you didn't miss anything. The Broncos came out flat. The offense was flat. I couldn't believe what the defense was allowing the Patriots to do. It was just extremely tough to watch. And really, Sean Payton, after the game, obviously Russell Wilson got benched. And they say it's because of the whole contract thing. The thing I don't get about that whole argument, you know what? The NFLPA, they said they had proof that the Broncos threatened to bench Wilson, which would have violated several clauses between the NFL and the NFLPA. There was no further action taken. So that tells me there wasn't enough evidence to that. And George Payton followed everything to a T. I kind of side with the Broncos on that whole situation. Plus that, now you can say the Broncos are still playoff contention and Sean Payton bench Russell Wilson, but you could see the frustration throughout the season. And Sean Payton says he wanted a spark, and that's why he benched Russell Wilson for Jarrett Stidham. I think if the Broncos somehow beat the Patriots, then we're not having that conversation. But again, the Broncos lost to a team that was, 3-11 on Christmas Eve. I mean, at some point, Sean Payton, with what he expects, I think he just hit a wall. Like, I've got to do something else. And I think people made way more out of it than what was really there. And plus that, okay, maybe they did bench Russell Wilson because he didn't change the injury clause. Well, you know what? When you know a guy isn't going to work, likely long term, and he hasn't really worked with the team or with the general manager to tweak things, I think at that point, almost as an organization, you almost have to bench the guy.
I would agree. You, as an organization, I don't think that they really want to give away the illusion that the power is with the players. And in that situation, I would have done the same thing. I would have said, hey, man, you're not willing to work with us. Unfortunately, we're not willing to work with you. And it should be give and take for all of those situations, in my opinion. You know, bring that culture back where players want to come and play for you and they want to do the best that they can for the ownership and for the fans. Because that's what we really want to see. Yeah. We don't want to see a bunch of crybabies out there playing a game and then come back and say, well, they got $250 million to play a game. I don't want to think about my players that way.
Right.
I really want to see them go out there and give what they can give and also just produce for what they're doing and get along with the other people. I don't want them to be a politician.
Right.
I don't need to see them kissing babies.
There you go.
But I do want to see them actually playing a sport and giving it a little bit of passion and also being a little bit humble and restructuring when they need to restructure because maybe they aren't living up to it. At the same time, with the CTE that Russell Wilson's going to have, his $250 million, like, great, it's going to take care of him long term. So I understand that from a human aspect as well. You need to play, or you need to be able to take care of yourself in the future. But that's a lot of money for a guy whose heart didn't really seem into it.
Exactly. Now, going into the offseason, now, depending on when we get this podcast out, they say, the Broncos say the decision on Russell Wilson is going to be in the next 2 weeks. And that was a few days ago. I think the decision has been made. I think they're going to move on from Russ. It's going to create some salary cap hell for the next 2 years. Now, they've increase the salary cap by about $30 million. It's going to help the Broncos out there, but it's still going to be salary cap hell for the next couple of years. Now, there's teams, though, that have been able to make that work. I'll point out the Bucks, for example, this year. They still had some serious salary cap issues. Got Baker Mayfield on a team-friendly deal. Got in the playoffs. Got a playoff victory and did very well for themselves. And going back to quarterbacks, now, Baker Mayfield's a free agent. The Broncos probably aren't going to get him. I would actually love it if the Broncos got Baker Mayfield. I like him because he's just real. Some people don't like him because of the way he comes off in post-game pressures and all this. I've always liked Baker Mayfield because he's just himself. And sure enough, he came back, had a stellar season, and I think it was great. just to see that, because he was the scapegoat in Cleveland for things that were really not his fault. He was the scapegoat again in Carolina, once again, for things that were not his doing. And sure enough, he finally gets another chance in Tampa and shows that he's still a great quarterback. Now, with that being said, he kind of shut up and put up. And that's my problem with Wilson right now, is he's still talking the talk without being really realistic of what his play was last year and where his deficiencies are and where he needs to improve upon. He posts these workout videos of certain things he's doing. I know, they're just, they're pretty cheesy.
High knees on the plane, everybody.
High knees on the plane. Yeah, and it's like, you know what? Be realistic where you are in your career and come back and prove what you can do. And I think that's part of what Sean Payton's irritability or annoyance is with Russ is, I think the reason I brought up the Baker Mayfield thing is Sean Payton would click with Baker Mayfield, no problem. They have the same type of personality. You know, they don't want to present any crap. They want to tell it how it is, regardless of if that gets them in the trouble with the tabloids or whatever. And I think Sean Payton just realizes the marriage with Russ doesn't work. I think he knew he had to try to make it work for a year. It didn't work. I don't really blame George Payton for the Russell Wilson contract, even though it's going to put us in salary cap hell. There's been talk that George Payton was pushed to do that contract when Russ got to Denver. Also, the way the quarterback market is, it was kind of something that was expected. So I don't blame George Payton like so many other people do. It's kind of what in some circles is being told he was told he had to do, and it was kind of really the norm for quarterbacks when Russ got to Denver. So I can't really blame George Payton. I think he's made a lot of other great moves other than the Russell Wilson situation, and so many people are ready to hang him out to dry. If George Payton got fired from the Broncos, he'd be picked up in the next 10 minutes. I mean, it wouldn't be a long process for him to find another job.
Yeah, he's done great through the draft. I also don't blame him for the Russell Wilson thing.
Nope.
I mean, I think about that podcast that you and I did as soon as we signed Russell Wilson. We were all so excited for that.
Yep.
I don't think anybody, maybe with the exception of Pete Carroll, could have guessed that this is the way it was going to pan out for Denver to pick him up. And to be honest, Ryan,
nope.
I would love to see Russell Wilson come back next year
and
really prove his points and see if he could really do it. Do I think it's going to happen? No. So realistically, not a great decision, possibly. But if he could come back and he does put in the work and he decides that he's going to turn into that hard-nosed player again, that would be awesome. But Zach Wilson. I'm curious if we'll see Zach Wilson or Mac Jones here in Denver.
Hopefully it's not Return of the Mac in Denver. Let's just hope. just saying. But yeah, you know, and all of us bought into it, as you said, Adam. I mean, I've got my Wilson jersey. We'll see what I do with that if and when he's not in Denver anymore. But everyone got into the hype, and it just didn't work out. And the reality of the situation now is Wilson's looking to play for his third team in, what is it, 5 years? Basically, any other quarterback that would be doing that, you would say, well, probably some things that are there that teams have noticed. And you kind of wonder if Russ leaves Denver, there's all this talk of certain teams that would have him as a starter. I don't know. There's talks of him being starters in another location. There's also talks of him either taking a backup role or being out of football. And I find it amazing that the talk is that extreme one direction or the other.
Yeah, I honestly think he's gone.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't see anybody else really picking him up unless they're in desperate need for a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's over the last 2 years, I think he's shown that he just doesn't quite have it anymore, which is unfortunate to say, because again, I'd really like to see him stick around.
Yeah.
But reviewing everything, seeing him miss those receivers, I think he's done. And it would be kind of shocking to me that somebody would want to bring him on for veteran leadership as he just continues to, he's political in the sense of he's going to show everybody he's a good guy. And I'm sure he is.
Great.
Off the field, go ahead and visit the hospitals and do that. I love that. That's wonderful.
Great.
However, on the field, his product has not been great.
Very true. Very true. And regardless of what you felt about Russell Wilson at the end of the season, whether he's coming back or not, once you had a chance to kind of look at some of the tape that's out there. Now, obviously, people can pull the worst pieces of the tape and all that, but there were too many times he was spinning or doing other things in the pocket when there was a wide receiver with his hands up over the middle of the field wide open. There were just too many examples of it to ignore. So, You know, with that being said, we'll see what happens with Russ, obviously, very quickly here in the next few days. Now, the Broncos, do they go with Stenum to start next season? And if they go with Stenum, do they draft a quarterback in the NFL draft coming up? I could see Stenum starting next year for us. I don't know if he'll finish the year as the starter. I think the Broncos will draft a quarterback. Now, Caleb Williams, please stay away from Caleb Williams, Denver. He is the next Jamarcus Russell. I'll say it again. Caleb Williams is the next Jamarcus Russell. That guy has had so many things where he wants basically just special privileges allowed for him all along the way in terms of him being in his final year in college, how he's even dealt with the combine, how he's dealt with approaching the NFL draft. There's talk of how his father tried to get around the rookie contract setup that the NFL and NFLPA have set up. And really, just everything that I've seen from Caleb Williams, even his arrogant and smug attitude, he's an extra Marcus Russell. So there's talk the Bears are going to draft him. I feel whatever team drafts him is going to regret it fairly quickly. And so stay away from Caleb Williams. But I think there's some other interesting quarterbacks out there. Now, J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, the talk is that Sean Payton loves him. But I don't know. Sean Payton tries to misdirect people. Like, for example, Mims, he had no clue the Broncos were looking at him. Marvin Mims came out and said, I had no idea that they were looking at me. There was no discussion with me. They have been talking to my coaches basically very, very quietly. So I wonder if it's someone like Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina that has a lot of traits like Patrick Mahomes that the Broncos might be looking at, and maybe we're smokescreening the J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix thing.
Yeah, I'm not real sure on that one. I suppose it's always possible. McCarthy, yeah, I could see him fitting in here. Not a problem. I'm not real familiar with the other ones on that, so I got no real opinion there.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix got a strong arm. He struggled before he got to Oregon. J.J. McCarthy, a little worried about him being a system guy. He threw at the combine right before we had this podcast or recording this podcast. Definitely has the arm. I wasn't actually sure he had the arm, and boy, he's got the arm. He showed that throwing. And Spencer Rattler, I mean, he would be more of a project. I think with a Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, or even a Jaden Daniels, I don't think we'll get him. Just like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels will be gone. Whoever gets Jaden Daniels, it'll probably work out fine. Caleb Williams is going to regret that real quick. But after that, we're going to have the J.J. McCarthys, the Bo Nix, the Spencer Rattler, possibly to trade up or draft. And I think it really just comes down to what does Sean Payton feel comfortable with, and what is the sequence that they want to have for 2024? Do they want Stenum starting and developing a guy? If so, you probably go with Spencer Rattler. If you want to go ahead and have a guy that could possibly start right away next season, you probably go with J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix.
Why the knock on a system guy? That's what I'm always curious about. We hear system guys and game managers being described as somebody that you don't necessarily want. But I do want a guy who buys into my system, and I want a guy who can actually manage the game, who's using his brain to make the right calls and figure it all out. I don't want a guy who necessarily plays every down like it's some crazy thing that he has to take all onto himself. I want a quarterback who can see the reads, knows the reads, and makes the right play. I don't want a guy to just make it up as we go.
Right, exactly. And yes, you want to have those intangibles as well. But with Sean Payton, you can see when he finds the right guy and the marriage works, Drew Brees. That thing was just an awesome marriage for so many years in New Orleans between coach and quarterback. And Drew Brees, a lot of people forget, Drew Brees wasn't lighting the NFL on fire before he went to New Orleans. I mean, the Chargers had already gone and drafted Phillip Rivers. So he was waiting in the wings for the Chargers already. And Drew Brees, when he got with Sean Payton, his game elevated. And he got the tag of game manager for a long time while he was with the Chargers. And really that went away because, as Adam said, he understood the system with Sean Payton. He made the correct throws. He still had the intangibles to throw off schedule when he had to, but he understood how to play within the system as well. And I think that's what's so misunderstood about quarterbacks is, yeah, you want to have those intangibles, but you want a guy that can ultimately throw from the pocket and understand a system or the system put in place as well. It's very important, especially as a quarterback ages, those intangibles that he has in terms of the running and using his legs and stuff, that starts to go away. So you gotta hope you have a guy that can evolve as he ages in the NFL.
Which is what we haven't seen with Russ.
No.
The athleticism Nope. is pretty much gone now, and the rest of the decision-making is pretty poor, in my opinion. So, yeah, I agree with you. We want somebody to come in who understands the system and can manage that piece of it and just make the right reads.
And get us a 1,000-yard receiver. We have just had too long of a drought of a 1,000-yard receiver. And like you said, with the people being open last year, the receivers being open last year, you got to think there was a 1,000-yard receiver to be had out there that we just didn't get out of the quarterback production.
Should have been. And Russ, one of his strengths has been the deep ball. And I didn't see a whole lot of deep balls this year.
Yeah, no. He had a couple deep ones to Sutton that were pretty. But other than that, yeah, I think a lot of it was just missing people off schedule, throwing late, running out of the pocket when the pocket was still stable. And really, whoever comes in, obviously want them to have the intangibles, but they have to know how to play from the pocket and throw over the middle. Drew Brees was not the tallest guy either. Now, Drew Brees was not the tallest guy either under Sean Payton. Now, knock on Russ is that he was short. Yes, he is short, a little shorter than Drew Brees, but Drew Brees played a lot taller than his height, and he found a way to throw over the middle. And I think that's what it is with Russ that just was the end with Sean Payton, is he didn't adapt his game and adjust his game or adjust his stature to learn how to throw over the middle. And I could see in terms of a coach like Sean Payton, that driving him nuts. And I think that's what eventually drew the wedge.
Yeah, I could see that as well. And it really feels like with Wilson not being Payton's guy, you know, it was not going to work regardless.
Yeah. Now, coaching-wise, obviously Sean Payton's put a great staff together. He's already brought in a couple other individuals from his Saints days. Guy kind of gets knocked for that. But you know what? If you know what works and you know who you work well with, I don't see a problem bringing those people in where you move your career on to. With that being said, I think this could be one of Sean Payton's biggest years. Now, he's not going anywhere. However this next season goes, he will be here past this next season again. But I think it's a big season in terms of, okay, you try to make it work with Russ. Pretty sure it's not going to work with Russ. Pretty sure we're going to draft a quarterback. It's on him now. It's on him to go, okay, I can make this system work with the right guys and the right type of quarterback. Well, now we got to see it. And that is the big thing. If we have too much of a fall off this next season, people are going to be calling for Sean Payton's job. But at the same time, he's put the pressure on himself, and I think he knows that. I think he knows he's put the pressure on himself, and I think he's fine with it.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to rise to the occasion. He doesn't seem like one to back down from a fight ever. And I really do think that it's probably a good idea that the Broncos are giving him the keys and letting him find the personnel that he does work well with, because it worked in New Orleans.
I think with the circus that was Nathaniel Hackett, I think Greg Penner being inexperienced as an owner when he came in, I think he had to give the keys to somebody that had experience building a winner. And I think a lot of things that people forget about in terms of Sean Payton is, okay, he only had one Super Bowl victory in New Orleans. But boy, the Saints were victims of some terrible luck in the playoffs. What, 3 years in a row where it was a last-second play or a last-second decision that they lost deep in their playoff run? I mean, so there were chances to have more than one Super Bowl in New Orleans. And after a significant gap of time between being in that first Super Bowl that the Saints won. So Sean Payton's proven he can go ahead and build a winner. At the same time, I think it's good George Payton's there. And regardless of what you think about him, I like George Payton just fine. And I think they work well together. And I think the one thing that Sean Payton showed New Orleans is one reason he left, I think, I don't know if he'd ever admit it, they got in salary cap hell. And they weren't going to be able to build much for a few years. And I think that's why Sean Payton eventually left, got a little burned out, wasn't going to be able to do anything really with the roster. But I think now in Denver, with having George Payton there, obviously we're in some salary cap hell again, but we've got a GM that's going to manage that. And it looks like the way the Broncos have structured it is, hey, Sean, you take care of the football side of things. And in terms of the personnel agreements and the inside of the house and everything, we'll let George Payton handle that stuff in terms of the contracts, in terms of working with the agents and everything. And I think it's working out really well and creating a balance maybe that Sean Payton didn't have in New Orleans that I think he needs to have in Denver.
Yeah, Denver absolutely needs some balance. The coaching carousel that has been happening over the last few years. How can you establish any culture? How can you establish an identity when it's just person in and out? And next year, there's a whole new staff, whole new everything. So a little bit of stability in Denver, I think it goes a long way. We saw almost a winning record this year.
Yep.
And there were a few bright spots here. That what was it, a 5-game win streak in the middle?
Yep.
That was exciting.
That was a lot of fun. I will say that Chiefs victory, you and I watched that together. That was probably the best game of the year, finally getting over that hump. That game was so much fun.
Yes, it was. And with the highest highs come the lowest lows.
Yes.
Yeah, losing to a 3-11 Patriots team, that was rough. But again, the stability in Denver, I feel like that's going to be key. One of the things, just being in sports throughout my life, having an identity for your team and really carving out who you are has always been a big factor for winning teams.
Exactly.
They know who they are. They know what they're going for. They know what they're playing like. And that stability for the coaching staff is huge.
They know how to play to their strengths. And that's so important to have that stability, because you can set that culture and understand playing to your strengths. And it's something Denver has not had. And I will keep calling it the longest Super Bowl hangover until we get back in the playoffs from Super Bowl 50. We are still in the longest Super Bowl hangover after winning Super Bowl 50. And hopefully we get it turned around, and it's exciting next season. I think Sean Payton, with a year under his belt, understanding his personnel, we still have the salary cap stuff to deal with. But I think we're going to see a better product on the field, definitely on the offensive side of the ball. I would say defense will stay pretty stable on that side of the ball as well. Despite everything that's going on, I'm still excited about next year.
Absolutely. I think that this was kind of a bad team that we had this year. I don't feel like the chemistry was there, and they almost got it to the playoffs.
Right.
You know, we knew going into it, it was either going to be a playoff team or it was going to be a really bad team. Unfortunately, we got the bad team, and then they made it interesting. Heartbreaking, but interesting.
Very interesting. And the interesting part as well is a lot of people had predictions for the Broncos for last season, and a lot of the people's final prediction for record was 8-9.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It seems like those guys on the TV really do know what they're talking about.
So really, at the end of the day, the Broncos ended where a lot of people thought they were going to end. Maybe not in the order that people thought, in terms of losing streak and winning streak and then all that, but the Broncos kind of ended where a lot of people thought they were going to end in year one of Sean Payton's tenure. And let's see what he can do now with year two coming up. But obviously, we need to get the quarterback situation figured out. And I think the other thing, too, the reason I'm open to almost anything in terms of change is, we have some talented people on the roster, but we've had so many losing seasons now in a row, and we're not used to it. I mean, you have to go back to the 60s and the 70s to have this type of streak of losing seasons. With the type of losing seasons we've had and the amount we've been able to string together after Super Bowl 50, we played okay that first year after Super Bowl 50, but that's kind of when it started tanking, was after that. And I'm really open to anything, because yes, we have some great players on the roster, but if it's not equating to wins, you have to be open with whatever kind of change comes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for however many years now, we've been thinking that we are one player away or one position away from being a Super Bowl championship contender. I think that we got to move some pieces around.
Yep.
It's not just one person.
No,
it's gotta be that team effort. And it's got to be going with some of the younger guys who are, again, exciting, electrifying playmakers. But we need to get those smarts back into it instead of just having these guys who, I mean, it almost looked at times like they didn't understand what was going on in the game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of frustrating. You know, watching it on the sideline when you know exactly what play is coming up next. We were watching in person, and I think you called about four plays in a row exactly what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And Broncos do it. They get stopped on their offensive drive there. It stalls. And Ryan's like, why did they do that? Everybody knew that was coming. Everyone.
How did I put it? There is something wrong as fans in the stands or watching from home. You can call that many plays in a row. And who knows if part of that was just because of the personnel, because of Russ out there, whatever. But Yeah, there is a problem when you as a fan can predict what's going to happen that easily. And Sean Payton, to his credit, he has not been that coach. So you have to think a lot of changes are coming, or you like Adam said, you got to go with some of those younger players. It worked on defense this year. We got rid of Randy Gregory. We let Browning have a bigger role when he got healthy. Benito, Cooper, and it looked a lot better once the younger guys took over.
Yes, it did. But who knows? Maybe those guys who did have the bright seasons and were looking nice, they might be gone.
That's true.
They might be. We got to get to. I feel like a lot of times we got to take what we can get from people when we can get it. Again, I would hate to lose Pat Surtain, but we might see a swing of 3 or 4 guys in his place.
That's
who can
true.
Step up and actually prove that they're worth it.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it'll be interesting because the draft's coming up. The offseason's going to be interesting. I want the Broncos to get back to where the offseason's kind of boring because we've played well during the season. And so we don't maybe have the eye as much on the offseason. We have fun with the draft and everything. I want to see that happen eventually. And hopefully after this next season, we can do that. Where, hey, guess what? We still have our review after the season's over. But guess what? Here's the stuff coming up. But it's not as exciting year-round because we expect to do well when the season comes around.
Wow, I must be an excitement junkie or something because I like it when there's lots of big changes and lots of shifts.
You're a drama king?
Yeah, that's what I like. I like seeing them go crazy and just, you know, again, signing that big name or losing that big name sometimes can be fun as well.
That is true. That is true. What, anything else you want to add, Adam, about our review of the 23-24 season and going here into the offseason, into the new league year?
Yeah, looking forward to this offseason. I think it's going to be great. As always, it really is the excitement that comes along with it and the hope for a new season. And it's already starting here in Denver. We got close to the playoffs, mm-hmm. which was probably better than many people thought we were going to. I don't think that they were expected to see even to be in the
sniffing
chase
the playoffs the way they did for a while. Yeah.
And so that was great. We got some things that we can build on. And if it's full rebuild, that's also really exciting. That could lead to a whole new line of seasons coming up. So yeah. I just, hey, Broncos, go Broncos for life.
Yeah. My thing, let's find a way. I don't care if it's the Broncos doing it or it's a combined effort of the AFC. Let's stop the Chiefs run. Let's just stop it because I can't stand watching it.
Yeah.
So let's stop that. The whole Taylor Swift thing, I have no problem with that. I think she's good for the game, good bringing female fans in and everything. But you know what? When she breaks up with Kelce, which we know is going to happen because, you know, that's what most of her albums are about her breakups. Let's get some good Bronco tight ends in the room that she can maybe come over to the Broncos side. I think that'd be fun.
That would be awesome. Hey, I'm not a Travis Kelce fan,
yeah.
But let's say that he were to go on a tear after that breakup song. It would be amazing if he did that as a Bronco.
Oh, hey, I never thought that would be fun. You know, it's amazing the players you can't stand when they wear orange and blue. All of a sudden, everything's forgotten and forgiven.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Taylor wants to fly him to the games and land a helicopter on the field and transport him to everyone. If he's in the orange and blue and he's productive, all is forgiven.
All is forgiven. Yes, yes. Well, that's our review of the 23-24 Denver Broncos NFL season. As Adam said, looking forward to the offseason and seeing what the Broncos do. As we get prepared for the 24-25 season. And until next time, once again, this is the Rye Man with Adam. Say goodbye.
See you, everybody. We'll catch you next year.
With Adam with Cromwell Sports. Again, this is the Rye Man with the Broncos Country Blitz. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Broncos Country. And on Twitter, or as they like to call it now, X, at DDCR_BCB. Or on TikTok at DDCR_BCB.